Would you believe if somebody came and said somebody dead was alive, and on your word or the other fellow's word alone, you're gonna buy this? Yet our Lord rebukes them for their lack of faith. Why? Well, He told them over and over again in His life, the Son of Man is going to be handed over to them. He's going to be tortured. He's going to be killed. And on the third day, He's going to rise. He told them that. And it didn't seem to make much difference. So we have this very condensed ending of Mark. It looks as though, and tradition has always held this, St. Jerome, all the fellows who, you know, the doctors and fathers of the church who kind of wordy work with the text. The last word of Mark's gospel is therefore. In 16:8, the women see the tomb. An angel comes and tells them, "Go tell his disciples to meet him up in Galilee." And they ran away. And they said nothing to anybody because they were afraid. And just the way the grammatical phrase would go in Greek, ephobuntorgon, is not an ending. And so there's been theory after theory. The fellow was carrying the manuscript on the way to the printer. Of course, the printer in that days meant what? You know, the copier. There'd be a fellow standing in the front of the room. There'd be 50 people there. And he'd be dictating and they'd be writing it all down. That's how you published before somebody was smart enough to think of this printing press. And so he was on the way to the printer in that sense, and he dropped the last page. Because, and that'll be one of those, you know, all of us who do this for, you know, like a living, work with them, we're all dying to get up there and find out what happened here, you see. But anyway, that's the way we have the text. And then somebody put an ending to it. Jerome says, "I never saw that ending before." You know, it's inspired. But you see how God works with, aren't you glad? He works with things that are sloppy. Otherwise, none of us would stand a chance. And so it goes on then. And he gave this editor who's trying to complete the text for us sums up that Emmaus tradition, which he knew. It's the traditions in Luke all spelled out for us. But here, after this, he appeared in another form to two of them walking along on their way to the country. They returned and told the others, but they did not believe them either. These guys are pretty. Now, that's as far as this text goes. But we know from Luke that he came back and he broke open the scriptures for them, which is the grace of the resurrection. If you look at Luke 24, there are two narratives there. And both are what? They are both stories of our Lord Jesus Christ explaining the scriptures. You want that to happen? Ask him. Say, "Lord, I don't understand this at all. I mean, I've been in this business more than 55 years. I have to tell them that almost every day. Just tell them, I don't get it, Lord. I don't understand it. Open up my eyes, because the grace of the resurrection is the grace to understand the scriptures." That's one of the graces. I can still remember. There was a fellow defending his doctorate over at the Biblicum, and he was talking about the indications of the resurrection. And when he was done, one of the professors said, "Yes, but you've left out one. One of the signs of the resurrection is the understanding of Scripture." I've never forgotten that. That was about 40-something years ago now. And so, and then we have, and this is where you see the mercy of the Lord and why we should be encouraged. As the 11 were at table, he appeared to them. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. And they qualify on both, right? Because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised, just a little movement, maybe. I mean, he told us this was going to happen. Yeah, but we saw him die. We buried him. Yeah, but remember. You see. So, now what does he do with them? Fire them all, right? No. Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Talk about mercy. These guys didn't believe anybody until he showed up right in their midst. And that's the way Mark's gospel ends. And then, of course, other manuscripts have other endings because anybody editing or working with the text would say it can end with, and they were afraid. So everybody sort of takes material and tries to complete it. Now, all under the Holy Spirit, right? Remember, this is all, it's all inspired. Now, what's that? Why do I go through all of that? Well, it's interesting, for one, you know. It's the humanity of the text. Jesus has a humanity, and it still has holes in it. That's the way he is. And so, you see, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. So then he said, you're fired. No. These are the ones he sends out to preach. Talk about mercy. You know, you would think, well, you've let me down. You're terrible, you know. So get out of here. I'm going to go find 12 other guys and start again. No. When he chooses, he chooses. And we're all chosen, or we wouldn't be here. You know, and he won't let go of us. We have to fight to get free of him. Don't do it. But this is the way this Easter week ends. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's always encouraging, I think. And we're going to go right on with Acts. You know, we end at chapter 4, verse 21. And Monday morning, we take up chapter 4, verse 23. And we keep right on going. Because, you see, why did the church put Acts to read during all these most of the 50 days? And then we'll run out of Acts and we'll start something else. Because this is the life of the risen Christ in the church. This is what it looks like. You see, on the one hand, they're not doing so well. On the other, just think of the love that Peter and John had. They'd healed that man, right? There's a wonderful story told. You know, Peter said what? Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Better than silver and gold, isn't it? Right after the St. Peter's was built, that magnificent great big thing that cost millions, the Pope said to somebody, well, Peter can no longer say, silver and gold I have none. And he said, yeah, and he can't finish the sentence either. Get up and walk. You know, Peter was in better shape than you, Mr. Pope. You're doing a good job and all the rest. But we don't need money. We need holiness. And if this financial stuff keeps going, or, you know, and they do something to lower the value of the dollar and so forth, we'll be in pretty bad shape. But we won't be. Because Jesus Christ will be in our midst. He will overwhelm us with his love and his affection for us until our hearts melt. Just to know that. You know, it's one of the reasons why I don't love has gotten to be such an abstraction, you know? So that's why when I experience God's love, I don't experience it like a love. I experience it like a fire of affection. That's how he loves us. And so he'll come that way. That's the way we end the octave of Easter with this gospel, which is why? To encourage us. To encourage us. They didn't believe. He comes right into his midst. He says, you didn't believe? Now go out and preach. At least you guys ought to be convinced, you know, now. So go out and preach, and I promise you I will be with you. I'll be with you to do signs and wonders. I'll be with you if you get killed. I'll be with you. And so we have the book of Acts, the Lord Christ risen from the dead, living in his church. And it's not quite as neat and tidy as his own life. You know, soon we're going to hear in chapter 6, you know, the Greek-speaking Jews felt like they were being their wives were being overlooked in the distribution of the food every day. It was an argument among those saints. Yeah, so they prayed, "What are we going to do about this?" Remember, and they said, "We're supposed to give our life to prayer and preaching. That's what we're supposed to do." So find six men, we'll call them servants, the Aquini, and let them handle this. So what's happened? They get six deacons, right? Supposed to be looking after the table and the food distribution and all the rest. And what happens to the first of them? He's the first martyr. And he's a great preacher. That's enough. I just felt, you know, it's the beauty and the light of our Lord Jesus Christ shining through very fallible instruments. And that should encourage us. Well, I can't preach. I don't have a degree. Peter didn't have a degree. I can't do this. You can do anything. Just listen to the Lord and do it. And as you see this world getting more and more sunken into darkness, have pity on your neighbors. You know, have pity. Bring them over a box of cookies and smile. Do something so that you can start to talk about Jesus and know that when you do, the Spirit of God is with you. It's not just you talking. Huh? It's the Spirit of God talking in you.